stand for the reading of the Bible. We have two verses here. So first one is from 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14. So 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. And the second one is in Acts 13, verse 22. Acts 13, 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as a king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Lord, thank you that you have given us your word. You have given us examples in the Bible. Thank you that you have loved us. You have shown us your heart. Speak to us. Open our hearts and ears to receive. And we are so thankful of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. It's good to be here, isn't it? Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's good to be here. Amen. These are great verses, as we heard him read in the first verse, that God was seeking. I sought a man after my own heart. And after doesn't mean he's chasing God. It means he was submitted in receptivity. He was a receiver. I'm looking for somebody that will receive from my heart. That's the person that will fulfill all the will of God. Sometimes we think about ourselves and like, how do I fulfill all the will of God? You must be kidding me, you know? And it's just being a receiver of God's own heart shall fulfill all of God's will. And we see that reiterated again by in the book of Acts, how he says the same thing. I have found, now the one who was seeking, he found, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who shall fulfill all of my will. So God is seeking. In 1973, a young lady, probably in her mid-20s, mid-20s is young for me. I think that's very young, you know. She came up to me, and I was in about my 13th year using narcotics. And she gave me a gospel tract. She handed it to me. I said, I don't want that. I don't want that. I'm not interested in God at all. I could care less. In fact, I hate God. And she just looked at me and said, like, I want you to take it and read it. I said, I just told you I hate God and I don't want your gospel message and I don't even want to see your face in front of me. She said, take the tract. No, this story gets more interesting. Then I slapped her in the face. She went down, came up. She said, would you do me a favor? I said, no. She goes, would you take the track? I thought to myself, this girl is like, what is this anyway? Is she out of her mind? So I just to get rid of her, I put the track in my pocket, and I thought, I'll just throw this away. I brought the track home, put it on my bureau. The track stayed there for a couple of years. It was there. I didn't throw it away, and I didn't read it. It was just there. And one day, after some situations that happened in my life, I read the track, and I said, Jesus, you need to come into my life right now. I'm on my way to hell, and only you can save me. And that was in January 6, 1976. I know it was, I always remember the date because the date my daughter was born. And that, how bad was I? My daughter was being born. My wife was having Lisa at the hospital, and I wasn't even at the hospital. I could care less. Didn't even care. And then I realized, something's wrong with me. Something going on here, you know? And I got saved. Amen. And I kind of acted the same way towards Pastor Stevens when he said to me one time, do you know that we don't have anybody in Africa? I hear you've traveled to so many countries. He said, did you ever think about Africa? I said, nope. He said, would you pray about it? I said, nope. He said, would you think about what I said and maybe sometime in the future pray about it? I said, nope. Not interested at all in Africa. I said, I work among African Americans in Massachusetts, and I said, I am not going to Africa. Well, guess what happened? 1986, I took a trip to Africa. And he never mentioned it again, but he just kept smiling at me. And I felt like the smile was saying Africa when he smiled, you know? So I went there. That was in 1986. And somebody told me, I want you to come with me. And do you preach at all? I said, well, in church a little bit, once in a while, you know. I wasn't the pastor of the church. He goes, okay, just come with me. I want to just show you something. So he brought me to this place in a city called Ashama. Ashama has maybe 700,000 people in it. It is one of the poorest places you'll ever find. I mean, sewers. I mean, it was unbelievable. The smell would be enough to kill you. That's how bad it was. So he said, he brought me to this place. There's all kinds of people there. He goes, I want you to talk to them about Jesus. I said, are you sick? I said, I'm not talking to them about Jesus. He says, well, I'm going to introduce you with this microphone. He had a microphone and a small speaker. And I said, don't do it. He did it anyway. And I preached from Luke 4:16 through 21. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel. I don't know why I picked that portion, you know. And people got saved. And that was kind of the beginning of this adventure in Africa. And reluctant, yes, thought it wasn't even God's call, never wanted to listen about it, had very little interest in seeing what would take place. And that was, so that was what year, 1986? What year is this? 2026? I forget years, they don't matter to me. 40 years ago? 40 years ago, yeah. How many? No, 86 to 26 is 40. I'm a mathematical genius. I'm just joking. So 40 years ago, and I've been there ever since. Been going ever since. This, I'm going to Sicily with Pastor Virgil, you know, because I think there's some people that want to plant a church in Sicily. I can't understand how or why. No, I understand why. But we're going there. We'll be there for 6-7 days and whatnot. And we have seen the churches in Africa in particular based upon amazing African Greater Grace believers and church planters. It's grown to 414 churches. There's, from that one church came 414 churches. So Greater Grace, you're a part of a family that's in Africa with over 400 churches. And that's incredible what God has done. And a man submitted to God's heart, that's the first thing, will fulfill all the will of God. Sometimes we look at the will of God and we forget about God's heart. And God's heart means God's mind, God's affections, God's will, God's conscience, what he sees as right and wrong, and a self-image in Christ. So if I'm submitted in receptivity to how God thinks, what God's affections are, what God's will is, a conscience according to the truth of the Bible, and have a self-image in God himself, who God has made you to be. Not who you have made you to be, not who the world has made you to be, but who has God made me to be. And so I found David, he said. And so I was thinking about this subject about the gospel, because you say, well, somebody said to me one time, it's all you ever preach about is the gospel. I'm like, thank you. Is that all? I think that might be enough. You know, it's okay. And just to think about the opportunities that we have in this world today. I mean, there's 8 billion people, 8.2 billion people on planet Earth. Did you know that? 8.2 billion. Did you know there's only 750 million born-again Christians? One out of every 10 people on this planet is saved. That means that I can never be handed an unemployment slip. God will never dismiss me because there's plenty to do. You ever hear people say, well, I'm at the end, there's nothing left to do. Really? That's interesting to me. That will never happen with the gospel. That's what's amazing about it. This gospel for America, for Africa, for Europe, for Eastern Europe, and whatnot, for wherever you might think of. I do meetings every week, one in the country of India and Nepal, another one in Asia with Pastor Mike Plunkett, and another one in Bangalore and Mumbai. And I do these 1.5-hour meetings every week. And we do them by what you call, I don't know what it means, but it's called Zoom. My wife sets it up and I just stand there. She sets it up and I just talk. She goes, just talk. Talk now, okay? So I don't know much about, I've never had a cell phone. Don't care much for them. Why? People can call you at the craziest times, especially Africans. I said, do you know what time it is? They said, I knew you'd be up. I'm like, the ring woke me up. It's 3:00 in the morning. Oh, is that all? What time did you go to sleep? I said, about 11. They said, oh, that's enough. 4 hours is plenty and whatnot. So having that, my wife said to me one day, did you see the phone bill this week for this month? I said, no, I didn't. I don't like to look at them. She said, $1,150. She said, can't you find another way? Then we discovered Zooms and other ways of doing it. And it's been quite amazing. And just to see. So a man after the heart of God. And I was thinking about this message of the gospel. What a message that we have. Sometimes we get, I'll just say me, I don't know about you, but I become familiar with it. I don't think too much about it. I begin to think about what my schedule and what I'm doing today is more important than the gospel. And then God says to me, like, why don't you step out of your office right now? And I said, do what? Just get in the car. And then go where? He goes, somewhere. I'll show you where, you know, and get somebody to come with me because I don't like going alone. And we just evangelize. I like it. We have evangelism so many times during the week, so we give people an opportunity. Maybe they can't come on Saturday. They work or they're with their family, so give them a Friday night. Give them a Thursday night. Give them a Tuesday night. Give them an afternoon or something, you know, where it would be possible for them to come. But this gospel he's talking about. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is speaking to a very strange church. This church was caught up with prophesying, was caught up with tongues, was caught up with all kinds of the gifts and their manifestation of the gifts. And he says this 12 times in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 12 times. He said, don't hinder the gospel, preach the gospel, live of the gospel, the necessity of the gospel, the glory of the gospel, the commitment of the gospel, the power of the gospel, a servant of the gospel, the gain of the gospel, the salvation of the gospel, partaker of the gospel, the race of the gospel, and the fight of the gospel. 12 times in one chapter. What's he trying to say? You Corinthians are going in this direction. I'm not, by the way, you're doing great. I'm just talking about the Corinthians, okay? Don't take it personal. Okay? Take it however God needs you to take it, whatever. And he's telling them about the importance of the gospel. And they're so, and by the way, I think a lot of people can have a lot of problems in Christianity. And what they should do is recognize, what problem do you have? You're born again. What problem do you have? You have a church. What problem do you have? You have a Bible. You know who's got the problems? Lost people. They're on their way to where? Hell. They're on their way to hell. I don't have a problem. By the way, I don't have a problem in life at all, except for the way Jonathan drives. No, I'm just joking. He did very well. I think he drove really well down here because his wife was in the car. I'm just wondering, you know. I get driven around a lot by Pastor Ronaldo Brown and Pastor Eugene Davis, and I put those, you know, those blinders you get on the airplane? I put them on because they scare me when they drive. They somehow think that a 2-inch gap is enough to get the car over and into, you know. Like how they change lanes. Why do people change lanes so often? Is it they don't know where they're going? Or they're trying to avoid certain people that don't know how to drive? Maybe one or the other. So Paul is saying to these people the importance of this message of the gospel. And it's so key. How key is it? Listen to what Jesus said. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and then what? Lose his soul. So in the evaluation that we get there, one soul is worth more than you gaining the whole world. And this is the sad thing about churches today, is they've so much think about the gain of the world instead of the gain of a soul. What shall it profit a man? By the way, do you know what happens someday? I'm going to give you some bad news. You want to hear it? This church, after the rapture, this church will be occupied by either Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, or some unsaved people. Oh yeah, what do you think they're going to do? Unless there's a few unsaved people that are here, and then you're going to take over, fine. But it's just amazing to me. All of the buildings will be going to somebody, won't they? And I'm not saying anything. I think it's good. It's great to have a building. But I don't put my trust in a building. I don't put my trust in concrete and wood and glass and all these kind of different things. Our trust, like yours is, and I know yours is in God himself. The trusting in God himself. And so often I found in my life, God reduces me to himself. Hello? Can I say that again? Can you say it with me? God will reduce me to myself. Just me and him. Just me and him. And for sometimes that takes a little bit of interesting situations to happen and circumstances. And you ever wonder, I wonder why this is happening for you. Want me to prove it? 2 Corinthians 4:15 and 16. All things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction is for a moment, but it works for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look at the things that are not seen rather than the things that are seen. I don't want to be a seen operator. I operate in my Christian life by what I see. I was on an airplane one time going into Sudan, and the plane was upside down. I said to the pilot when we finally got where we were going, I was wondering about whether I would ever get there or go to heaven. I said, do you realize like how you flew this plane? What happened? He goes, I thought you were a Christian. I said, I am. He said, where's your faith? I said, in God, not you. You're kidding me. Did you know that we were like upside down and things are falling? You know what? I was with Pastor Dwayne George. I don't know if any of you know him. He kept singing this song the whole time. I have decided to follow Jesus. That went on for 1 hour. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me. I'm like, would you shut up? This is critical, what's going on. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, I'm like, you gotta be. Where did I ever meet him anyway? I don't even know, you know. But the gospel, and this is so important in our lives. And you might say, well, I'm a shy person or whatnot. God will give you exactly what you need for every person he desires you to speak to, whatever that may be. Or just give somebody a track. Or pray for the gospel, amen? Isn't prayer important? People prayed me into Africa. I was on, do you know that I had a house in Italy? In Milan. Like Chris Morris on his way to Sicily. I was on my way to Italy. How did Africa get in? People were praying, all right? God changed his destination. Bring him to Africa, not to Italy. By now, I probably would have eaten like 2,000-3,000 pizzas, Italian subs, meatball subs, and who knows what I would be looking like, you know? But in Africa, there's not a lot of food. There is in some places. Not where I was. So Paul is emphasizing the importance of this message of the gospel and how important it is for me in my personal life, the message of the gospel. My children grew up in Africa, you know? And they have fond memories of it. They still go back every once in a while and whatnot. But what they remember most is we were there because of Jesus Christ and the what? And the gospel. We were there for the gospel. Our family was about the gospel message. And still is today. my wife said, I can't come with you in this next trip. I said, I never asked you to, although I'd like you to, but I'll let you decide. Pray for her. Her health is not, she's got, what do they call it, COPD? Her breathing is difficult, having difficult breathing. I said, maybe it's the American air. She says, stop hinting. You know, no, I don't think it's the American air. But this message of the gospel. So Paul is saying, I've got this light. I love 2 Corinthians 4:4. He says, I believe, and we trust in the light of the glorious gospel. He said it's glorious. I wonder what Christianity thinks about what's glorious today. You know, I think it's amazing when a person gets saved. I was talking to somebody on the streets yesterday, and they said, that born-again stuff, get away from me. I said, I never mentioned the word. I said, I didn't say born again. You said it. He goes, well, I know you people, you born-again people. I'm like, really? I said, I'm not even sure I know what that means. I'll be very honest with you. Born again is not in the scriptures. It actually says, it actually is anaothen, born from above. Did you know that? In John chapter 3? It doesn't even say that. It says, born from above. He was equating that to Nicodemus. And I'm not talking about born again. Never do. I'm talking about Jesus and you. Get out of here, will you? What are you doing in this area of the city? I said, talking to you. What do you think I'm doing? You know? And yet I find after a while the heart starts to get a little bit softer and softer. You just become like a friend to people. Befriending people is so important. You think a lot of people out there where they're lost, they don't have too many friends. They don't have too many friends, real friends they can trust and say, I'm going to grow up and this person is going to still be there. But what a message we have. What a message we have. When I think about it, working in missions in 944 churches, I remember when Dr. Stevens went home to be with the Lord, there was 275 churches. So we have grown like 600 churches, more than 600 churches, almost 700 since he passed on, he went on. But he left with us an impartation and a foundation about the gospel truth and the importance of bringing the gospel. Is it important that you bring the gospel to Culpeper? Hello? Some of you, how'd you get here? Somebody gave you some news, right? It happened to all of us. So Virginia needs the gospel just as much as Tanzania needs the gospel, okay? By the way, I think even more so in America today, it's like it's become such a thing that is so common and natural and normal to people that is there any more spirituality in it? Is there any more life-changing, the gospel? I think somebody told me one time about how many heroin addicts there are in America. I couldn't believe it. How many heroin addicts, how many people that use narcotics are in America? It's shocking to realize it could be 1 out of every 10 people that uses drugs. So that means if there's how many million people in America? Anybody know? 350 million? Huh? 350. Huh?
350,
thank you. I said it with authority, I know it's true. Okay. There could be 35 million heroin addicts in this country. It's amazing. How do you think they're going to get out of that? Huh? The gospel. People got all kinds of programs, right? I know. I used to be in that kind of a ministry for many years where I was helping addicts all the time. I bought 2 houses, and my wife said, what are we going to use them for? I said, for addicts. I'm taking them home from prison. She goes, you what? I said, I'm taking them home from prison. She goes, you mean where I live? I said, well, where else? Now, she went along with it very much so later. So, but we would have people coming home with us. I didn't want to just minister. God said to me one day, it's great that you're ministering to them in prison. How about bringing some of them home? I'm like, huh, what? Home? Yeah. But they'll rob me. So what? Richard Wurmbrand said, what people rob you of is you probably don't need anyway. He came home one night, Richard Wurmbrand, the great Romanian preacher, and he found the guy robbing his house. And he says to the guy, well, can I help you? Puts more things in the car? Because I probably don't need these things. And maybe God is using you to take these things away from me, and this is all from God. The guy got saved. The thief got saved, you know, brought everything back in. You know? So we've got this amazing message, and I don't want to get caught up. Churches get caught up in something else. There's so many things, if you're not careful, to get caught up with. There's this money gospel. There's this power gospel. There's this, and I believe in healing. God's healed me many times from many different things. I was almost pronounced dead one time. I was 7 days unconscious in Uganda, and they just said, he ain't going to make it. I had cerebral malaria. And my wife said, he's going to make it. Shut up to the doctor, you know? Don't tell me he's not going to make it. He's going to make it. I can hear their voices, but I couldn't talk. Well, that's the worst thing, too, you know that? You can hear the voices, but you can't talk. And I said, I'm going to make it. I made it. We made it, and we're still going. We still keep on going. So what a message we have. What a life to respond to that message. He gives us. How many of you think the Holy Spirit's interested in the gospel?
I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But how many of you think the Holy Spirit is interested in the gospel?
Jonathan?
Very interested.
Oh, really? So what's happened in life today with churches? There's no interest. Seems like there's no interest that much from what I see. I don't know, you know. I'm not talking about America only, even in Africa. You got lots of churches. And I said, do you do any kind of outreach at all? And they said, well, not really. It's too difficult here. I said, oh, really? It's too difficult here? Oh, you poor baby. Let me get you a bottle. And let me burp you. And let me give you the bottle. And then I'll burp you. And I'll change your little diaper when you're ready. No, I don't say that. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Yes, I do. So the gospel. Let's be a people who say yes to the gospel. Whatever that means, praying that people get saved in Culpeper. Prayer meetings, okay? You know how many prayer meetings we used to have in Ghana? Like 7 a week. Well, because everybody couldn't make it all the time. You know, sometimes we would have them on Saturdays or Fridays and people couldn't make it. But we had prayer meetings. See, talking to God about people before you talk to people about God. Did you hear what I just said? Talking to God about people before I talk to people about God. Start with prayer meetings. We're going to have a once-a-week prayer meeting in the church for lost souls, for the lost people of Culpeper. And if you do it, great. If you don't, that's also great. I'm not the pastor. But a prayer meeting, even if it's an hour. I always had our prayer meetings around church. If we had church at 10, we had a prayer meeting at 8:30. To 9:30. If we had church at 6 o'clock, we do the prayer meeting at 4:30, 5 o'clock. So I don't have to make people come again for something else. Like, we're going to have a prayer meeting. How about coming? Coming a little bit earlier, we'll pray. And you will be surprised at what the Holy Spirit will do. Call upon me, Jeremiah 31, and I will answer and show you great and mighty things that you know not. Do you think God could fill this whole chapel with people?
Yes.
Excuse me.
You do?
Oh, God could fill this whole place where you got to get more. Would you say knock out the walls, Pastor? Those walls can be knocked out, right? Yeah, you can knock them right out. And some of you would like that. Just get a hammer and just start smashing things, right? I know I like to do that. And the church will grow. Let's pray that the church gets new people. Let's pray that people get saved in Culpeper. Let's pray that God uses us, even when I don't even want to be used, but God uses you anyway, and you're surprised. Hey, are you a Christian? I don't even know the person. They're asking me that question. Are you having to be a Christian by any chance? Do you know if there's any churches around here? You know, things like that can happen. So thank God for his good news. He says it 12 times in this portion of Scripture. The emphasis is the mind of the gospel, that we would have that mind and we would reflect that mind, and we would mix faith with that mind and go forward. Amen? Father, thank you today for this message of the gospel. We see it in Acts 1, 7, and 8. Jesus' last words, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. He forgot about Galilee. I wonder why. They were all Galileans. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. We pray, God, bring new souls to this church. There's people in Culpeper, many of them, thousands of them. Start bringing people to church. You can do a supernatural work. You can use this church to reach people. with this good news, glad tidings, a message to cheer the ear of the hearers. It's called the gospel. It's called the gospel. It was brought everywhere by the early church. Help us, God, to see this truth in the gospel. Lead us personally, God, in our daily lives. Maybe somebody. You just pray, God, put somebody in my path that actually initiates to me. That's the gospel. So we thank you today. If there's anyone here today who has never received Christ as their Savior, I don't know everybody here, say, Jesus, come into my life. Make me a new person. Give me the person of the Holy Spirit. Save me. Help me. I want to be born again, born from above. Spiritual birth, a decision and a prayer, salvation. For us as believers here, God, help us to reflect the gospel in our decision making, in our words, in our minds. God, help us in our marriages, in our families, single persons, teenagers, young people. We thank you today. You called David Livingstone when he was 13 years old to be a preacher. 13 years old. And he said yes. So, Father, we thank you for this church here in Culpeper, God. Bless them special. Bless our lunch and the wrap that follows. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.